Okay.
Each year, number 62, July 4th, Chabad of Tammuz, Erech Hashem, and we're in the last parak of Chelet Beis, and we'll learn the last parak, and then, I don't know if we'll finish the parak. We'll see. So Parak Shemini in section 2, and section 2 has basically been about Hashgacha Pratis, why things happen, how they happen, the mechanics of how they happen, the Bezdin, Shemayim, how Hashem, so to speak, makes decisions, and how things happen. And now the last parak is really general rules. Mimashi paragraph 1. Mimashi Yivachin Ol Hashgachos Yivarach Shemo. But we must realize further, more, about Hashem's Hashgacha. All the procedures and the arrangements of Hashgacha and how it's carried out and everything, how decisions are reached, how it's carried out, why things happen, how they happen. Everything is Yosher HaMishpat, is fairness for Kav HaDin. Hashem is fair, Hashem is just. Now it's not because we have our concepts of fairness and justice. We have our concepts of fairness and justice because of what we learn from Hashem. It's not like Hashem is fair because we have it's a good thing Hashem is fair, because we want Hashem to be fair. What in the world would we do if Hashem would be unfair? But these concepts of fairness and not fairness is all taken from Hashem. We should have no standards, and this is why there's a mitzvah to do, even if it involves killing someone or it involves doing something inexplicable and to the people's minds it's cruel. Or to people's minds it's pointless or cruel or unfair. So the standards of fairness are Hashem's standards of fairness. Now we say Kelamuna Vainoga Tzadik V'Yosher Hu, that's how he appears to us, and it sits well with the way Hashem made our own DNA, that it's comforting to know that Hashem is always fair. But again, you have to realize it's only Hashem made the whole system. Because he made a system in which we would be at peace. And if we would be at peace, we'd be calm, we'd be accepting of Hashem, because to our minds, he's just. Most people don't think that way. If you had to think about it, you say, oh, Hashem is just because Hashem has to be just. He's a good guy. And we use our own standards of fairness and justice to judge Hashem. We do that subconsciously, unconsciously. Because we have our own standards. If Hashem would say, okay, one day a month Hashem is going to punish you for doing a mitzvah and reward you for doing a favor. You say, oh, that's not fair. So that's your life. But again, it's a hard thing to internalize that the fairness is just a word we use to describe Hashem's system. Hashem, again, Hashem is not logical. Hashem is logical. Because that's how he made himself, because he wants us to. He made a human being in a way that we say Hashem is fair and Hashem is just. Hashem is logical, and you know, but sometimes it's a bit, you know, when it is at odds with our own concepts of fairness, this is when you see people go crazy and have a hard time following halacha, and they have a hard time, again, because in halacha you have to kill someone, or you have to keep someone alive, even at great expense, when there doesn't seem to be any point. Or you have to do things which a Bezdin asking something And people think it's unfair. They don't understand that there's a system, there's a halacha. So they rail, but they're doing is they're putting their own concepts of fairness above the Torah. And it's very hard, because it happens because we say Hashem is fair. So when we say the word fair, we look up in a dictionary. We look up in the dictionary, in our dictionary. And we have our own standards of fairness, but that's not true. It's a mirage. It's only words. The only standards of it's just a word. Hashem is fair. Hashem could be unfair too. That's when we would have made it. You know, Hashem is Hashem. Hashem is reality. Hashem is the way things are supposed to be. He made it shem. He made it fit with our system, with our own concepts of fairness. So that, I assume, so that it should sit well with us, and we wouldn't have a problem of we wouldn't have a problem of loving Hashem, of accepting Hashem. But again, you see that people don't realize that Hashem took Abram to his whole life, and Hashem doesn't want human sacrifice. You know? The Kiddush, then everybody was into human sacrifice, you say, okay. That's nice. And then he tells him to bring Yitzchak as a korban, so it contradicted everything he taught his whole life. We don't appreciate the Nisayon in that. It's like Hashem would tell you to not be fair. You say, well, I don't know, I cannot be fair. I mean, even Hashem's fair. We would say to ourselves subconsciously. We say, Kel Emuna V'Enogel, Sadik V'Yashavu. Hashem is fair. That means if you're not fair, you don't have to listen to him. So he complains and giggles. But this is how people think, and that's why they have trouble. When they're up against the halacha that doesn't sit well with them, it's a tremendous design. And I saw it a thousand many times, and you see it in different mitzvahs, that situations come up, and it's very hard for people. And it comes about because we only have the words that we have. You say, Hashem is told. Okay, so what's the definition of told? It really is it really is illogical. It's just a circle. Because told is what Hashem defines as told. Told is not what we define as told. So really saying Hashem is told is meaningless. It's really saying Hashem is Hashem. Hashem is reality. Reality is what Hashem determines it is. We call that Tov, because that's how Hashem made the world, that we should think of Hashem as Tov, and we should want to emulate him, and the halacha is Rachel, and sometimes it bumps up against our own system of Tov. And that's when we start having problems, we start saying, this is unfair, this is not right. So it comes about, so when we say these sentences, Yosher HaMishpach V'Kav HaDin, it really is, I don't know if there's a word in English, I'm looking for the word, it's self-definitive. Tov is what he says is, and we call that Tov. So I'm happy we call that Tov. Uh-oh, what would I do if Hashem would be right? What would I do if Hashem would tell me to be a serial murderer? So he said, oh, but he could, because that would be Ra. But that's not true. He just created the universe, and he created man to, again, with a lot of the drachos, he created man to want to feel moral, to want to feel fair. Everybody's fair. Very, very, very good people. I don't even the biggest brush up. I don't know if he looks in the mirror and says, I am not fair. He wants to think, I think, in the mental state of every person, even of Russia, is that he's being fair. He has his own standards of fairness. He has his own ideas of what's fair. Okay, and we'll say we shouldn't think like, oh, Baruch Hashem, Hashem is fear. What would I do if he wouldn't be? The definition is what Hashem says it is. Hashem is self-defined, and that's what we follow. And this is why you find people have trouble with halacha sometimes, when it bumps up against their own ideas, and they don't realize that their own ideas are always tricks. It's just that it happens to stim with the Torah and Hashem. That's why I don't like these articles that extol the Torah because it fits in with our own ideas of mental health, of stability, of goodness, and because what do you do when it doesn't? So most of the time it does. It's true. Most of the time it does. But the danger in all these articles, and I've spoken to these organizations, especially Eshet Torah mostly, countless times, and say, there's no point, there's no point to keep doing it. What it does is it puts the Torah, so it's called Sekira, okay, I know all that, okay, wait. But it brings the Torah down to our level. It says the Torah is good because it fits with our idea of good. Torah is good because it's just a word good. The Torah is what it is. Hashem is what he is. And we follow him and we listen to him and we call that Tov. So again, you know, so we're happy to call that Tov. Hashem constructed a person to feel moral, good, just, fair, consistent, not arbitrary, follow rules, not to just be arbitrary, do one thing one day, another thing another day. It sits well with us because that's how Hashem made us. Hashem made us with the DNA, with the mental state of looking at what he does as told. It would be an alternate universe where we're doing chesed is a horrible there's a horrible miscarriage of justice. It's a horrible insult. It's an alternative universe where if you do someone a favor, he considers it a tremendous insult. So we would still have to do someone a favor if it would be such an insult. So when we think, no, but that's not true, because I don't have to do someone a mitzvah. If they don't want it, they think it's an insult. Yeah, but that's because we're in our universe. So that's how we think. But what's empowering the mitzvah is not our sense of justice, not our sense of good, but Hashem's. He made a person that I'd say 90% of the time, we're okay, it's good for us, it's healthy. We're mentally healthy because we're not. But if someone says, you know, we don't worship an evil, capricious Hashem, we would. If we would think of Hashem as evil and capricious, we would still have to do what he says. We would still have to follow him. It's like a big chesed he did for us. That we don't, we think of evil as capricious and capricious as evil. Okay, I don't know. When I see such a sentence, it's really a yetka. It's like a linguistic trap. That everything Hashem does is yosher hamishpat v'kaf adin. And when you see that sentence, everybody brings a sigh of relief. Because what would we do if he wouldn't? But that doesn't make sense. Again, Hashem is self-defining. So it's just words. Hashem is Hashem. And it sounds like I'm talking too much about something very philosophical, but when you go to Bezdin, and the Bezdin, let's say, is honest and fit, and they pass in a din, and then they start screaming, it's unfair. then we're willing to say the Torah is unfair. So something means the better than the Paskin wrong, but only because it doesn't fit with their system of fairness. And then starts the philosophical questions about Yer HaNidachas and killing Amalek babies, and there's many dinim in Shulchan Aruch. Not many. I'm sorry. There are dinim in Shulchan Aruch. For the most part, Shulchan Aruch is fair. But in Chayim Mishpach, I'm talking about, but sometimes it's not fair. It doesn't. So by not fair, I mean it doesn't fit with our understanding of justice. And as the world degenerates into morality, what do you think is happening in England? England is not evil people. It's people who have become so degenerate and immoral that their definition of fairness and their... Everybody knows what I'm saying, the government's making them teach alternative lifestyles. Meanwhile, it's not clear what can happen if they don't, or they have to close down. Huge demonstrations in England. It's like it's something we're not used to. We're used to like Tsarist Russia making zeros against the Torah. We're not used to wonderful, democratic, progressive people making zeros against the Torah. But it's exactly that. And they're talking, I mean, people are talking about having to leave England because they can't get a proper chinuch for their children. If this, everybody's saying this can't happen, it's not going to happen, everybody should relax, it's not going to happen. But it's only not happening because everybody is up in arms about it. And yes, but you have 60, 70,000 people demonstrating in England, which is like, you know, to get an Englishman to demonstrate. But what's happening? The world has become, it's like Stone. What do you think Stone? Stone had a system of justice where it was good to turn away guests and evil to take in guests. And that was their, they didn't look in the mirror and say, I am evil. Whether they said, it had rationale, it's very bad for the economy. Very good for the economy if we just give people free things, right? We want to be purely capitalistic and we don't want to give anybody a freebie or else it'll ruin the whole economy, right? You know, pure capitalism is very, very in any of Ayn Rand's books, so pure capitalism is very, very harsh, very, very harsh. It leaves very little room, if any, for stuff, for chesed. It's like an immoral act to do chesed and tzedakah. So, but you can have that, and it's going on right now. And America is quickly, quickly catching up. Because meanwhile, there's a Bill of Rights and a First Amendment in America. But Israel is trying to emulate all the European countries on these matters. And the judges are the seat of rishus. And that's why everybody is going crazy that Trump's going to maybe nominate another Supreme Court justice who is normal. Because there was a law that anti-abortion office, a place dedicated to talk people out of abortions and to tell them how bad it is. So until a week ago, there was a law, which was the law of the land, that they had to advertise abortion services, how you can get them, you know, before you do. And the Supreme Court, 5-4, it's not like 8-0, 9-0. 5-4 said that you can't force someone to advertise someone else's services if they hold it's bad. It's free speech, so. England doesn't have a Bill of Rights. There's no automatic. America also, they're up in arms. If a Supreme Court candidate is being questioned by the Senate and he says, I'm a free speech advocate, every single Democrat's going to vote against him. Every single one. you have two exceptions, very close. What is it? 61 to 49, something like that. 51 to 49. It's very, very close to be that John McCain is sick. Right. But what is it? It's the standard of, they call it political correctness, but it's the standard. It's Stone. This is not much what Stone was. That the society's standards. Stone did not look in the mirror and say, we are evil people. Avram is a good person, we are bad. No way. They thought they were good, and that was their society's standards. And that's what's happening now. We're living in a world where society standards are so immoral that it's like a chiddush that you don't have to bake a cake, right, for a toeva marriage. And if you're against it, you're like a Nazi. You know, if you follow the news, you're a Nazi, extreme right-wing fascist, if you have any standards of morality whatsoever. So you have to be very careful, because the people who are trying to maintain the Torah standards, so one mile could be saying, I just follow the Torah, that's all. But we're used to thinking of the Torah as the ultimate fairness and correctness and rightness and goodness. And you're in a whole world, a whole civilized world that's more easy, and have warped standards. So it's difficult. And that's why some so-called Orthodox rabbis were not able to stand up to the Messiah. They're morally weak, intellectually weak. They want to curry favor, so they still call themselves Orthodox, but they twist and turn to explain why it's not so bad, really it's good, and we have to have love and acceptance and wonderful, all these silly, silly, silly things. It's because again, we're stuck in a warp. We're stuck in a warp because we say Hashem is Yashar, and Hashem does Mishpat, and Hashem does Din. So we describe Hashem in those ways without realizing that the definition of those things is only what Hashem says it is. And that's where you have to have bittul, you have to be subservient. Not only to the Torah's halachas, but you have to be subservient to the Torah's definitions and the Torah's worldview. And it doesn't sit well many times with our own human standards, especially if we're in a society which is gone crazy. So you say, okay, it's like a tackle. The Supreme Court justice who was 5-4 to legalize toeva marriage, so to speak, so he didn't do what a judge is supposed to do. He didn't judge. He said, people are in love. You have to let them live the way they want to live. This is not the job of a judge. That's the job of a philosopher, maybe. Counselor, not a judge, talk like that, but that's how they talk nowadays. And that's how they possibly deem it. So people who are from, I dealt with this because it's a gay file out there. So people say, okay, but you have to listen to the Torah. It's like we accept their standards of goodness and love and fairness. Best, we fight a battle, we say, okay, it's in there, it's like Kosovo. You have to listen to Hashem, but it's very hard. It's very hard. That's why I don't like when they try to show that the Torah is everything in the Torah is just good. It's like a battle. But again, they do it so it should be accepted by people. I mean, even this sentence of the Ramchal, which set me off on my rant, is because It really is a nonsensical sentence from Rambam's Bible, because Yosef and Bishmuk Makava Din, he decides what that is. If you go to Bez Din and you lose a case, that's because there's only one witness, and he's an honest person, and he swears that what he's saying is true, and you lose the case because the Torah says you need two witnesses. Let's say that happens, which could easily happen, not nowadays, but we'll go into the reasons why. But according to this DNA Torah, could easily happen. You need two witnesses. So the guy goes out of his mind. You're calling him a liar. I think he's lying. It doesn't make any sense. Why should he lie? He's a nice person. He's a wonderful person. He's a tzaddik. And he swears that it's true. So it's hard to say, yeah, the Torah is being fair. So we treat it. We say the Torah is unfair, except you have to listen to the Torah anyway. But neither one is true. The truth of the Torah is fair, but it defines what fairness is. Okay, so Hashem judges us fairly. Yeshua HaMishmut Mekav HaDir Uchinyin Shememar. And the Pesukim reflect this again, because this is what sits well with people, and this is what makes people internalize and accept the Torah and Hashem into their lives. The caveat I'm saying is that you have to realize that everything's definition is Hashem's definition, Shemalorov's definition. And therefore, when something happens that goes against the grain of our system of morality, so either we fail the Nisayo, which people sometimes do, or we pass the Nisayo, but it's like, listen to Hashem because he's stronger than me. But you don't have Vayashkim Avram Baboker. See? Vayashkim Avram Baboker is the reason why King Lemitzis, he went happily and eagerly to Shechti Yitzchak. You don't do that. You don't. And that's why he's called Avram Ohavi. You don't do that if Hashem is only stronger than you, but a tackle flies in the face of everything. But Hashem's stronger than you. What do? You have to listen to Hashem. It's because you have to readjust your thinking. I can't figure out why all of a sudden human sacrifice is good. Okay, that's my problem. I have a human mind, and Hashem is Hashem. So, you know, just like I don't understand a lot of things, I don't understand this either. Okay. Uvnenya shenema shevet bishur shevet malchus sako kosov melech b'mishmet yamad aretz. For Allah, Yodanu, and we. So now, everything I said is not relevant to what the Ramchal was saying. I went off on a tangent. What the Ramchal is going to deal with is a nice kind of contradiction. Everything Hashem does is fair. Okay? And it's Mishpat and Din. Now let's say Hashem decides to be Meichel Arabeiros. So we don't like to think of it, but he's being unfair. We only think he's unfair if he punishes us, and we feel we don't deserve it. But when he's Michael Araveras, it will be unfair. If he's done things we did or the world with Midas HaRachamim, he's not being fair. He's not doing Mishpat. He's not Melech Mishpat Yamun Aretz. He's not Sheva Nishar, Sheva Malchusecha. So that's what the Ramchal is now going to deal with. How could that be? How can Hashem be a grandfather and a father at the same time? And the grandfather doesn't care, the kid can do what he wants. Grandfather, they're not. But the parents are stuck with the discipline. But Hashem is the father and the grandfather. Hashem wants good. He always has brew of, he loves his creations, Avoelas Bunam. Ella Shemitah Ha'atzmo Roish Yasser Avos Bunam. Anybody who's a parent knows that you discipline your child, or you should. This is maybe not always the case, but it's supposed to always be the case. If you have normal parents, good parents, so they will always only discipline the child because they love the child. They want the child to be good, so they have to discipline. They're never out to take revenge on the child. That might be our parents that do it, and it's very sick, and it's very bad. That's why they have parenting classes now. If you want to sleep at 8 o'clock tonight, either because I have to go out and I need you sleeping, because or else I can't go out, or you want to sleep at 8 o'clock tonight, not because it's good for you, but because I'm getting my revenge because you didn't listen to me. I'm not saying punishment isn't warranted, but punishment has to be out of love. You have to kasher yaser ishes, but no, Hashem alokech on the asreka. That's the pasuk he brings down. So we've all been parents, and we know that this is most of the time the case. Sometimes we lose control, and it's not the case. But that's the end, and supposed to see to it that it doesn't happen. But we discipline our children because we love them. And that's how it is most of the time. Well, I don't know, most of the time. Yeah, maybe you could say most of the time. You punish your children because you love them. Because at the end, it will be good. It will be mature. It will be good. It will listen to the rules. It will get ahead of the world. Because he's been disciplined. So Hashem loves us and wants what's good for us, but that's where Din and Mishpat stand from, because Hashem wants to do good to us, and he's like a father disciplining a child out of love. Not hateful revenge. You didn't listen to me. I'm going to get you. I'm going to punish you. Of a Musar of a Rosa Matolus Beno, Kamosha Zacharta. For Ulam, but if you really, really, really believe that, so there's going to be two cat corollaries that you're going to have to live with. If you really believe that, so you're going to see there's two corollaries to that. Ulam Mishorish said, that principle, no longer Shnei and Yonin, has two corollaries. One good, they're both good. He's going to say very good things now that we're going to bring a smile on our face. Because the soul of the punishment is love, so that's going to have two corollaries. That's even better. Echad, that the punishment will not be that harsh. Right. Well, if you're taking revenge, you're going to smack the kid as hard as you can, right? But if you're doing it out of love, so you would hold back in the patch, and the patch shouldn't hurt him too much, because you just really want to make a point. You don't really want to hurt the child, and even if you want to hurt him, so you should remember, but you don't want to just like beat him. So, however, the first corollary is shahamuser atzmo yiyem mutok. Be a sweet mercy. Lokosha Bazari, if not harsh and cruel. You know, Abba Asma, since it's all coming from a place of Abba, so this Abba Timzo will dilute as Adin for Rachamim, will dilute the Din with Rachamim, because it's coming out of love. So the love will not only say that I'm punishing you because I love you, but it will say to ease up in the punishment. Not to hit you with full force. And the second corollary is the Hasheni, that I won't punish you at all. So the farmer, so you say, but wait a second, but that's not just. But Hashem's justice is always flowing from love. So when he sees it fit, that the love should make him be Michael totally and not punish at all. So the father, only Hashem knows when You know, sometimes we refrain from punishing our children, and we regret it afterwards. I should have punished them. You know, I was Michael them a little too often. Look how they grew up, and I failed them as a parent. But Hashem is always perfect. Hashem always perfect. So Hashem, Shashar Tzrich on the Kav when it's necessary. Yavor Ha'adam Baruch Hu Shuvah Sadin Lagavri. Hashem will step out of the din box and go pure rachamim box.
Rabbi,
yeah.
It's not so arbitrary, that last statement.
It is to us, but Hashem knows what He's doing. Hashem knows when it's, what you say in Yiddish, oiskal, Hashem knows when it's warranted. Maybe to us it's arbitrary because He's Hashem and we're humans, so we don't know. But in our own experience, we do this sometimes too. You say to a kid, you're grounded for a week because you disobeyed me. So step one is make sure the punishment is coming from love, because you want to discipline him and teach him. Not you're just going to get that kid back because he didn't listen to me. Right? That's what the stepmother does in the fairy tales. Right? The fairy doesn't do that. That's number one. Number two is the kid cries. That I won't do it again. I learned my lesson. Please, please, please don't let me miss the school trip. Please, I promise I learned my lesson. So, you know, the father is full of love. Again, I'm describing human emotion, but I'm kind of describing Hashem. That sometimes Hashem gives us a piss because it's all coming from love. So, his yesod is that as much as we talk about fairness and din and mishpat, but it's flowing from love. It's flowing from the Rutzel and the hate is, and that's why he says it has these two corollaries. Maybe to you or to us it sounds arbitrary because we don't know the rules. When does he do this and when does he do that? He knows when to do it and when not to do it. And every parent has been in that situation where you go with your instincts. A lot of times we're wrong, so human beings, so we're usually wrong. But we go with our instincts. And sometimes our instinct is to punish with the full force of the punishment. Sometimes the instinct is to lighten up on the punishment. And it's only a kid. Sometimes we walk away from the punishment. We're not after it totally. We've all had this experience. It's not arbitrary. I wouldn't call it arbitrary. What we do is we want to be, again, if we're coming from a place of toll, coming from a place of being mated, we're coming from a place of afa, so we turn over like all the tzatzchusim, we become like the defense attorney, and we say, you know, what are you doing? He's just a kid, I'm being too harsh on him, you know, so it's not arbitrary. The rules are arbitrary, because once you go outside the Kav Mishpat, so it's very hard to set down rules, because it's Rachamim. Rachamim has, those Rachamim have rules, probably it does, but we don't know what they are. But anyway, Hashem is never arbitrary. Hashem does what's fit and perfect and called for in that situation. Another point he makes. Okay, so that was point one of the eighth paragraph. I think we'll stop here. So point one was that Hashem is fair and just and follows mishpat and din. You know, but if you know your Rashi and Chumash, so you know that Hashem said the world will not exist if I follow midas hadin. People. Now, so you say, wait a second, Hashem could have easily, what he's supposed to say, the word Ramchal, and he's a sophisticated ladies, so you should ask yourself, well, why didn't Hashem make a world which could exist in the Sunday? Like, why did he make the rules the way he did, and why did he make human beings so frail and so needy and so weak? that he had a big b'shat defrachamim with it for people to do. Why didn't he just recalibrate? I mean, he was there, he was the only one around, no one's telling him what to do. He could have done whatever he wanted. So why did he do this? The answer must be, again, it's the way you read the Medrash. The answer must be that that's to teach us that really, to teach us that it's a multi-layered system. That really it's supposed to be din. But din has a certain harshness to it. And there's ahava and rachamim, which overlays the din. So the foundation is still the din. But it's tempered. For example, you know, when Beis Din Shalmata, when Beis Din gives Misa for Chilul Shabbos, gives Misa for various Averis that have Misa, so they're not allowed to have Rachmanis. There's no Rachmanis in Misa Beis Din. If Hashem has a punishment of Kores, so Hashem could have Rachmanis. And, you know, Hashem could relieve you of the Kores. But a Beis Din Shalmata, the Paskin Skila, you're a bobby, and you were knitting a pair of mittens for your ankle, and you just couldn't control yourself, and it was Shabbos already, and you just, and you just knit two. So you say, you take this bobby, you throw her off a cliff, and you throw rocks at her. And Mr. Lebrowski can't live with that, but that's what you do. That's Chilul Shabbos. And if you shoot it, of course, yes, we have been warm and everything else. But that's Hashem. So you see, it's a two-tier system, and why Hashem did it is to show you that it's two-tiered. That really, that there's, it's like it's grounded in Mishpat and Din, and you have to bend your mind to understand that that is the way things are supposed to be. And then Hashem says, you know, lighten up. We're going to lighten up a little. Okay, we'll stop here.
Could it also be that to give schar to those who are able to live?